This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Scioli podcast.
So Bernie Sanders has to explain why, you know, look, just because he said he was going to use the power of government to crush private industry, he's not sorry. He still feels that way, by the way. And the president will announce his official re-election campaign kickoff tomorrow. That's right. Tomorrow, the president of the United States will say, I'm running for president again. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. Glad you are here today on the show. We appreciate it very, very much. Let me play for you, if I could, this cut of the burn, as you're feeling the burn. Bernie Sanders on Fox News Sunday. Now, in the past, obviously, Bernie's done some incredibly kooky things, like vacationing in the Soviet Union, taking his shirt off and getting drunk on vodka with some of his friends and singing Arlo Guthrie and just the nuttiness. Then he goes, he praises Castro, he praises the Sandinistas, on and on it goes. And the truth of the matter is that with the president's reelection tomorrow night, I guarantee you, and I don't have any inside information, but I guarantee you, the president tomorrow night is going to mention how this is a battle to keep America from going to become a socialist country. I think that's going to be a big theme of the president's speech tomorrow night. I have no insider information, but I have a strong hunch that's going to be a big part of the president's theme, that we are at a tipping point here and we could easily fall to socialism if we're not careful. By the way, the president's reelection tomorrow night is our big story, the big campaign kickoff in Florida, and that big story is brought to you by The Terrace at Chestnut Hill. If is worry for mom and dad keeping you up at night, then call The Terrace at Chestnut Hill. Personal, compassionate care with respect and dignity for mom and dad, now offering 1 month rent for free. The Terrace at Chestnut Hill, because everyone deserves a great life. So this theme of combating socialism, and the fact that here we are right now, we've got to make this historic stand. We go that direction, and then in the future, it's actually going to be very similar to a speech that Ronald Reagan gave when he was a candidate and lost the primary to Gerald Ford, and he talked about the future. He said this at the 1976 convention. He was called up on the stage by Gerald Ford. He gave this amazing speech, one of the best speeches, and it was very impromptu, but it was all about, you know, what are we going to look back on in the future? And I think the president's speech tomorrow night is going to be very much about that. We've done a lot, but we could easily turn the corner and go down a path of socialism if some people win the presidency. And this is exactly what I mean in the sense of socialism of in the future when the government decides, you know what, we're going to take that industry, we're going to privatize that industry, we're going to seize that, not privatize, we're going to seize that industry. No more privatization. Take a listen.
Sir, let me drill down on that, because here's what Maria Zvart, the executive director of the Democratic Socialists for America, told the New York Times last year. Our ultimate goal really is for working people to run our society and run our workplaces and our economies. And back in the 70s, you seemed to agree. Here's a quote from you. I favor the public ownership of utilities, banks, and major industries. Senator, do you still believe that in the public ownership of major industries?
Chris,
and if not, why?
I live in the city that you're taught, where I am right now. We do have public ownership of our electric department, and they do a pretty good job. A lot of electric departments all over this country are publicly owned. Do I believe that workers should have more say and be sitting on the boards of large corporations? Yes, I do. Do I believe that we should break up some of the major banks on Wall Street and support credit unions and community banks? Yes, I do. So I think really one of the things that we have to look at is the fact that power in this country rests with just a handful of people. You got six financial institutions that have assets equivalent to 54% of the GDP. Six institutions control the flow of trillions of dollars. When we talk about democracy, it means not just voting every 2 years. It's giving working people more of a say in what goes on in the economy.
There you go. It's just more of a say. No big deal. No big deal. I mean, sure, we'll take over banks and private businesses, but we'll just do it to give more people a say. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like exactly out of the Communist Manifesto. You know, to each according to his own and blah, blah, blah. And everybody gets a say, and the, you know, the workers and the bourgeoisie and the proletariat. It's exactly the same thing. I mean, really what he's saying here is that he's saying, look, yeah, we're going to take this stuff over, but it's about giving a voice to people. Now, socialism has been around for a long time. It's not something new. And they tried this before in the past. This is how unions came about, the same kind of a concept. It was in the 1920s, and you had all these different labor groups, and they're battling for rights and that. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you have the workers' rights movement. It's not that much different than what Bernie's talking about, with one exception. He's not afraid to say, sure, we'll take over that industry. Not a problem. We'll do it if we have to. No big whoop. I'll tell you, this is a big contrast for the president tomorrow night. A huge contrast. And of course, the other question then becomes this. What other industries would he take over? Would he take over, say, the coal industry because it's bad for the environment? Would he take over, say, nuclear industries? Would the government basically under President Bernie Sanders privatize deprivatize everything? Would they just take it over? Probably, I would imagine, because that's ultimately how you achieve, at the very core of it, what is communism but allowing the workers more say, allowing the workers to be more in charge? Now, it doesn't really work that way. Not even close. But that's the selling point, right? The selling point is that all the people in the coal mine in Chernobyl who had to go in there and save the day, that they had a choice. You know, because they were in charge. They ran the coal industry. The workers. Now, you and I know that it never really works out that way in real life. It's just a talking point. But hey, isn't that something, right? You know, that notion of, listen, you're going to be in charge now. It never, ever, ever works in real life. That's part of the problem. But for Bernie, hey, I love too, as you break this down here, that he's acting as if the most reasonable thing he can do would be to push people out of industries that they have created for the good of the people that work there, which is exactly what happened in the Soviet Union. When they had the communist revolution in 1919, and then the Marxist-Lenin, and then Marx, and the Marxist-Leninists come about, they went into all these different industries and said, the workers are in charge now. And by workers, we mean the government. The government's now in charge. One more time, Greg, if you would, with that cut, please.
Sir, let me drill down on that, because here's what Maria Zvart, the executive director of the Democratic Socialists for America, told the New York Times last year. Our ultimate goal really is for working people to run our society and run our workplaces and our economies. And back in the 70s, you seemed to agree. Here's a quote from you. I favor the public ownership of utilities, banks, and major industries. Senator, do you still believe that in the public ownership of major industries?
Chris,
and if not, why?
I live in the city that you're talking, where I am right now. We do have public ownership of our electric department, and they do a pretty good job. A lot of electric departments all over this country are publicly owned. Do I believe that workers should have more say and be sitting on the boards of large corporations? Yes, I do. Do I believe that we should break up some of the major banks on Wall Street and support credit unions and community banks? Yes, I do. So I think really one of the things that we have to look at is the fact that power in this country rests with just a handful of people. You got six financial institutions that have assets equivalent to 54% of the GDP. Six institutions control the flow of trillions of dollars. When we talk about democracy, it means not just voting every 2 years. It's giving working people more of a say in what goes on in the economy.
And more of a say by owning the companies they work for, because the government's going to come in and make sure that the workers are in charge. It's literally what happened in the Soviet Union. It's exactly the playbook of this. You know what's amazing, too, is that Bernie's going all in on this. He's not afraid. In the past, he kind of hinted at this stuff, but there was a time in his life where he was all in, and then he kind of pretended he wasn't. Now he's all in again. He's all in, and he's not holding back anymore. What does that tell you about where the party's moving right now? Now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is driving a lot of this. You know, the new it girl. She's driving a lot of this because, as Bernie tries to say, I'm the biggest socialist. And Elizabeth Warren, America's mother-in-law, the undocumented Native American, she says, no, I'm the biggest socialist, but my socialism can get elected. Bernie's can't because Bernie's nuts. AOC sits in the epicenter of this as the reasonable young woman who will guide the future with her endorsement. Take a listen.
It's possible that I'll endorse later on, perhaps, I do not see myself endorsing anytime soon. We haven't even had our first debates yet. I'm very interested in seeing how things play out. So we'll see.
Bernie Sanders just announced his list of New York endorsements. Mm-hmm. You obviously weren't on that list because you're not endorsing. Did he ask for your endorsement?
He hasn't. I think we've been focused on, he and I have co-led on capping interest rates on credit cards at 15%. We're focused on working together in our capacities as co-workers, me in the House and him in the Senate. And so he has not asked for my endorsement, but he has asked for my co-sponsorship on several bills, which I am happy to offer.
Would he have an edge? I mean, you volunteered for his campaign. He supported your campaign.
I think what we really need right now is a presidential candidate that is going to fight for the well-being of working class Americans mm-hmm. and all Americans. And I think that he does that excellently. I think his policies do that excellently. I believe Senator Warren's policies do that excellently. And I think that that's really what we need to be looking for in terms of the agenda. And when we talk about the agenda, for me, that agenda means the right to health care. It means a $15 minimum wage pegged to inflation. It means making sure that we can make college accessible to all people, including public colleges, vocational schools, and community colleges. It means having a foreign policy that is focused on peace building and stability. And that is what I am looking for, really, in a candidate for the United States.
Yes, exactly. You see, as lefty as we can get. Excellently. Excellently. By the way, is excellently even a word? I guess it is technically a word.
You made it a word.
Do you hear people use it that often?
No.
I tell you what, the way they spread the cream cheese on that bagel, they excellently. Excellently. And the omelets at this place, they're so excellently made. Thanks to those thin bird shells. I tell you what, they're excellently. Excellently. I mean, it's excellently, don't you think?
Yes.
How was your weekend? Excellently. Your weekend? Excellently. Greg, how did you have a good weekend? Excellently?
Excellently.
Was it excellently? My weekend was greatly and goodly and also excellently. All right. Well, there you go. That's what I mean in terms of where we're going here on the left. We're going very far left on this stuff. And I'm not kidding when I tell you that this is the president's moment to be able to stand up and say, we are headed towards socialism if we don't stop it right now, and say this is our moment. Because Bernie Sanders feels so emboldened by the movement of his party to the left and young people in general that he's all out there saying this stuff. And you know what? He could win the nomination. So think about that.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Okay. Lots to cover here. 7:47 on Talk Radio 1210. At 8:15, we are going to talk to a hero, a true hero who saved a woman who was getting sexually assaulted on the side of the road in Jersey. And then, God, it could have been really, really bad. So thank God he was there. Thank God he was there. Don't you surprised by the fact that I was right about bootleg booze in the Dominican Republic?
I am. I was sure that it was some kind of a pesticide sprayed in the hotel or something. So mm-hmm. you were correct.
Greg, were you surprised that I was right?
Not at all. I've worked with you for long enough to know that you have good instincts, so I trust your instincts on things.
I'll tell you what, it was one of those situations where I knew what was going on here. The good stuff out, the Fugazi stuff in. They don't do that in Mulligan's. I know that.
No.
I know that they would never dare do that.
No.
So, but Dominican Republic, there's no, it's not real. And the ABC and the health board isn't exactly up to par down there. You know what I mean? So just a little bit of Johnny Walker Blue out, a little bit of the Shin God, whatever the hell it is inside, and then away you go.
Do you think this happens? I don't mean to this extent in the Dominican Republic, but do you think this happens a lot at like bars and stuff where they're like, yeah, this is Johnny Walker Blue. And then It's like a, you know, like a $10 bottle of scotch or something.
I think it happens more than you think.
Yeah.
I do. What do you think?
I think that especially they might switch it out after people have had a couple drinks. So I don't think they do it during happy hour at the beginning of the night. But I definitely think, you know, after 10, 11 o'clock at night, meh, the cheap stuff.
When the guy's going, I'll give you another one, and I'm Johnny Walker Black. Lou? Black. All right, get that guy whatever the hell we got. Charging $50 for it, but he's not going to know the difference. I mean, that's true, right? You're not going to know the difference, so at that point, your palate is shot to hell. It doesn't matter what they give you. But that's different, though, than putting a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue right in front of you and going, here, let me pour you a shot.
Yes.
But meanwhile, inside there is Seagram's or something, you know?
Formaldehyde,
yeah. Yeah, formaldehyde.
But clearly, the American bars, if they do that, they know what they're doing.
Right.
So it would appear that in the Dominican, they didn't know what they were doing, and they put this pure grain alcohol that, I mean, it's tragic. I mean, you have people in their perfectly healthy people in their 40s just dropping dead. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, dropping dead,
oh,
Dawn.
Oh, my goodness.
Dropping dead. I'll tell you something else, too, which I think is important to understand, that they were putting in there what looks to be like rubbing alcohol into the booze, too.
Oh, God.
You know? A little rubbing alcohol in your vodka. Oh, God, right?
You still want to go to the Dominican Republic, right?
I do, because you can get a great deal right now. This is the time to go.
Just don't drink. Or drink, maybe just drink beer. Did anybody have a beer, or did they drink hard alcohol?
I think it was just hard alcohol. Again, most people didn't die, so there's that. But you only need one, right? That's terrible. What do you expect? You go to these all-inclusive resorts, they go, everything's included. Top shelf liquor, too. And you go, you can't make money on this. There's no way, right? It's just the economics don't work. So, especially if you got a guy who sits down and goes, you just keep pouring. I want one drink an hour till I pass out, then bring me two drinks every hour.
Like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Yeah, just sitting there pouring it. A little bit more. Dawn, would you go to the Dominican Republic? Just kidding.
No.
I know the answer. I was just kidding. Just kidding. Dawn, when you go to a place, do you inspect their bottles? Like, who does more inspections, you or the alcohol control people?
I'm sure I don't drink. I really don't drink alcohol.
No.
That's the thing. Like, if you have wine, you know that the cork, you know, you pull the cork out, you know that it's safe. You feel it's safe.
If you watch them open the bottle.
Right. You want them to bring the bottle. You witness it being opened.
Right. You don't get a glass of wine. You want the whole bottle.
Right.
Because you want to see them put that corkscrew in, pull the cork
That's
out.
That's right. And make sure they wash their hands.
And then when the guy goes, we'll bring this. We're just going to decant this. We'll be right back. You go, no.
Nope. We're good.
Right here. Do not take this away from my table.
That's
right.
Wearing hazmat suits for Dawn to even consider.
No cross-contamination. No pesticides in the air, right? Bootleg liquor. What a shame. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I hope that they get to the bottom of this, but I feel like it's going to be such a cover-up by that corrupt government down there, you know, in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, but we have the FBI and the State Department investigating.
That's true.
And what is it? Now they're saying at least six Americans dead. And then you wonder if more people over the year are going to come forward and say, wait a minute, what about, you know, Uncle Joe, who went and vacationed there 2 years ago?
Uncle Joe?
You know.
What happened, Uncle Joe?
You know, he drank from the bar.
Oh, right.
Didn't come home.
Yeah, right. He thought it was going to be a mostly excellently vacation. It didn't work out that way. The booze wasn't excellently. Now, let's see here now. We've played Booker here. How about Chuck Todd? Now, Chuck Todd... Mayor Pete is gay. Did you know Mayor Pete's gay? South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg?
Yes, and Time Magazine had the mayor and his husband on the cover of Time Magazine.
The first man. Now, so Chuck Todd can't get enough of the fact that now Pete Buttigieg might have people vote for him. I'm trying to understand how much trouble I'd be in if I asked these kind of questions, but here is the host of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. All right. Take a listen.
There is one whisper that Democrats have about your candidacy. Many are excited, but you hear the whisper, I don't know. Can he get African-American support? I want to read you a quote from the Reverend Roderick Reed that the Indianapolis Star interviewed. He's a pastor at the Uplift Church in Indianapolis. Here's what he said. I guarantee it's going to be an obstacle. This is about the fact that you're married to another man. I guarantee it's going to be an obstacle for the candidate from South Bend. That is really still a touchy subject, specifically and especially in the African-American church. Now, I think it could be overcome because we are gradually getting to a point of, and I don't want to say accept, but we are getting to a point of realizing this is the culture that we are going to have to begin to live with and adapt to it. I know you're trying to have these conversations with a lot of African-Americans. How are they going?
Let's stop it right there, because I know that black people hate gay people, so how's it going?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Considering that they all hate your people, how's it going? You guys going all right, Pete? Do they beat you? How does it work? You walk into a predominantly black bar, they beat you? Is it beat you and your husband to death, or... How's that going? All right.
He's not done.
But I do want to follow up. I've talked to African American congressmen who really like you and want to support you, where they're some of their more conservative, religious minded constituents who vote straight ticket Democrat most of the time would have trouble voting for you. What do you say to those politicians in Washington who want to get behind your candidacy but are nervous about this?
And look, you know what I mean by that is obviously because you're not going to get any black votes because you're gay. So what to you is that a challenge for you? Let me rephrase. since all African Americans hate you because this is Chuck Todd on NBC News. This is amazing to me. If anyone on Fox News had this line of questioning, there'd be boycotts, they'd be out of a job, it'd be an absolute outrage, suggesting that all black people are homophobic.
Oh my God.
Here's Chuck Todd finding new and different ways to ask it. Like some African American leaders have said they'd vote for you if, would you denounce gayism? Would you reject your own gayness? Would you agree to go through conversion therapy to get a vote or two? Not all of them, but one or two votes. All right, keep going.
But I do want to follow up. I've talked to African American congressmen who really like you and want to support you.
I mean, they don't like you in a gay way. And they asked me to please preface it by saying that they obviously, because none of them do. But I had to. It's amazing. Instead of just saying, you know, do you find that with a lot of voters who are very religious that your homosexuality is going to be an issue? It's, you know, but with black voters who they're all so incredibly bigoted and myopic in their thinking. So how are you going to overcome that? You hear the whisper. How could you get African-American support? Oh, man.
It's unbelievable.
Where they're some of their more conservative, religious-minded constituents who vote straight ticket Democrat most of the time would have trouble voting for you. What do you say to those politicians in Washington who want to get behind your candidacy but are nervous about this?
Would you consider going back in the closet and marrying a woman like Rosario Dawson for... Oh, sorry, she's taken. Somebody else to just pretend like you are, in fact.
Just to get the black vote.
Would you be willing to...
Oh, my God.
Chuck Todd. NBC's Chuck Todd. Meet the Press. I called it right up the middle right there.
I'm crying.
As he winds up stereotyping every... a black voter in the country. And again, nobody's going to care. He'll keep his job and his millions of dollars, and nobody will care. Nobody will come out and say, what are you suggesting now? There won't be any black people on TV going, we're fine with gay people being elected. We're okay with that. Nope, none. They will not do a counterinsurgency against Chuck Todd in any way, shape, or form. Not one. By the way, today in Israel, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had a ceremony for the inauguration of Trump Heights. It's a town in Israel's Golan Heights that has been renamed in honor of the United States President, Trump Heights. It's amazing, considering what an anti-Semite the president is, that they would name a town in Jerusalem, in Israel, after him. It's amazing. It's right next to Hitlerville, I believe, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Very popular town.
Very popular town. Great nightlife.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's just amazing. Chuck Todd should ask.
Oh, black people are homophobic. Right. How do you get that vote?
Yeah, Mayor Pete, since black people, 100% of them, all hate gay people. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? Give me your... Oh, man, we live in the craziest times. Obviously, the president is not an anti-Semite, which is why they named this town in Israel after him. Trump Heights, a new town in Israel's Golan Heights, because the prime minister has said Israel knows no better friend than President Donald Trump. So there you go.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Now, this is going to ruin Dawn's day. China is facing an epidemic of counterfeit and contraband wine.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Turns out now, in 1985, a single bottle of wine was sold for a record-breaking $157,000 at Christie's in London. The purchaser was Christopher Forbes, who was bidding on behalf of his father, Malcolm Forbes. The bottle was a so-called Thomas Jefferson bottle, a 1787 Lafitte. It was thought to have the founding father's initials THJ carved under the amber-green glass. Other circumstantial evidence had also suggested the third president of the United States was once the owner. It was later proven to be a Fugazi.
Uh-oh.
In the decades since, the wine world, traditionally associated with Europe and haute cuisine, has changed dramatically. Now, it's not uncommon to go alongside and see a bottle of expensive wine along a bubbling hot pot paired with Peking duck, stir-fried noodles, or dumplings. In fact, China has become obsessed with wine. In 2010, Asian buyers accounted for about 60% of all wine sold worldwide at Sotheby auctions. This is from Forbes.com. However, the new rise in demand has prompted a renaissance in counterfeits. Chinese buyers have chased after famous old world imports drastically, and they're bidding up prices for labels like Chateau Lafite, which has in turn become one of the most counterfeited wines on the planet. Other prestigious producers such as Henry Jayer, Petrus, Rothschild, and the Burgundies of Domaine de la Romaine Conti, I don't know how to say that, have also become popular knockoffs. Empty bottles from these brands fetch up to $1,000 a piece on the black market, which are ultimately recorked and resold to unknowing buyers. They estimate, now this is amazing, 30,000 bottles of fake imported wine are sold an hour in China, every hour. 50% of wines retailing for more than $35 or more in China are Fugazis. And what's happening now, of course, is that they're also now exporting those fake wines to other places around the world who are also selling them, even though that they are, in fact, Fugazis. Isn't that something?
That is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, our friends at Tomasello told me that the Chinese market has exploded, that they do a ton of business now. Here's New Jersey-grown wine
right. That
goes over there. So I actually knew that was a big market. Yeah, how do you avoid that if they're recorking it?
Yeah. Yeah, taking the bottle, recorking it with Fugazi Chinese wine, and then, you know what I mean? And sending it around the world. How bad is that?
That's bad.
This wine has a strange taste. It's Chinese wine.
But we've heard this from other countries, because the United States, you know, we heard about the tomatoes. Somebody doing that. It's not the American company's fault.
No.
So now, what do we need? Like the USDA? Who inspects that? Do we need like American inspectors to be at their...
The problem is, how do you inspect it without opening the bottle and drinking it and going, this tastes like crap, you know? How do you do that? See, with the tomatoes, it's different because you know the taste when the cans are open, you can kind of go to the source of it. But if it's a bottle at a restaurant, because it's a Fugazi, I don't know. I don't know how you fix that problem. I guess you got to make sure that... Restaurants have to make sure they're working with reputable dealers, first and foremost, probably. But again, if you go to a resort in the Dominican Republic and you get a bottle of $200 wine, how sure are you that that's actually the wine and not a Fugazi that they're getting?
But see, if I were a winemaker, if this were my company, I would have some kind of a seal, like a wax seal.
They recreate it.
Redo that.
Yeah, it's amazing now they have printers. They can do that now. It's unbelievable. Dawn, they can make dinosaurs real in movies. They can recreate the wax seal on a bottle. I love how Dawn's big idea is, I'm going to do a stamp. A stamp that they can never recreate with a laser printer or an iPhone. Yeah.
There's got to be maybe an app that could create an app with like a barcode thing to somehow show the authenticity. Something like that.
Years ago, when I was doing my political consulting, there was a great friend of mine, Andy Mulvihill. He's got a huge wine resort up in North Jersey, Crystal Springs. They have their they have this wine cellar there. They have like 60,000 bottles of wine. Their collection's estimated at, you know, tens of millions of dollars. His dad, his late dad, Gene Mulvihill, is a great guy. He created this device. It was like an MRI machine for a bottle of wine. So you put the bottle of wine in this machine, it would read it with 99% accuracy and tell you if the wine was good and if the wine was legit.
That's
something. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That is so cool.
I know. It's an amazing production. You know, you and your husband should go up there some weekend. It's a nice place.
That.
Good wine. All the wine's real too. No fugazis up there in that wine cellar. They won the Grand Spectator Award for their wine cellar. The Grand Award for the wine cellar.
Wow.
So, yeah. You're not going to get any fugazis there. But you go to these resorts. I don't know. Now I'm questioning that, because my whole theory was, if they bring you a bottle and it's sealed. But now I'm not so sure anymore, because you're going to have, you know, General Tso's red wine.
they can tamper with anything now, honestly.
Instead of the Chateau Margaux, it's the Chateau Tso, and it's the...
it's going to taste like rice. And
You know, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. As long as they produce something that tasted pretty good, they could get away with it. It's when somebody tries to go super cheap that people are going to notice. So if they get greedy, then people are going to notice. But if they do something it's delicious... Nobody's going to complain.
Well, because how many times do you hear about blindfolded wine tastings where they put a really expensive bottle and then they put a decent bottle next to somebody and they can't tell the difference?
Yeah.
We did that on Facebook Live one time.
We did, right? We did, yes. You can tell the difference, obviously, if it's Yellowtail and it's a really, you know, beautiful wine from Washington State or Pinot Noir from Oregon or something. You're definitely going to tell that. But if you get a $50 bottle of wine and you put it next to a $500 bottle of wine... Are you really going to tell the difference?
Probably not.
And that's where the counterfeit markup, that's where the counterfeits are coming from, is that really high-end wine place. But where else would you order stuff like that? But on vacation, when you're feeling like money's no object, right? And now you get
so
over, you
true.
Get the Fugazi wine. This would taste great with pork fried rice, but not with, you know, my Chateaubriand.
Are there any good Chinese wines that you can think of? I mean, it's not, the region's not known for, you know.
Not known for their grapes, right?
They're Pinot Noirs.
Wow. You know what? We should check in with Dawn. Dawn, good morning.
Good morning. It's 8:07, 71 degrees, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, with news brought to you by Holman Lincoln Maple Shade and Holman Lincoln Turnersville. So several warnings and updates. We want to talk about consumer news from the CDC, Centers for Disease Control. There is a rabies alert. Bats are responsible for about 7 in 10 rabies deaths. And this is among people who are infected with rabies virus in the United States.
She'll cut your head off and you won't even know.
I'm sorry. I hit that button by mistake.
So they're doing a rabies alert. They're saying be careful out there, especially watch the
bats.
We're
not doing a wall. Does anybody have any doubt that we are not?
Also, we have hundreds.
Rabies is highly contagious, Dawn.
Rabies. Yeah, it's scary.
By the way, would you rather have rabid bats in your backyard or mosquitoes? I'd go rabid bats any day of the week.
Well, the rabid bats at least eat the mosquitoes.
Exactly.
So there's that.
Totally. I want crazy rabid bats, actually. Be
no,
amazing,
you don't want
right?
rabid bats. Okay.
By the way, Frank M in OC says, how do you know if you have Chinese wine, you finish a bottle and 20 minutes later you want another? Well done, Frank. Well done. Sorry, Dawn.
No, hundreds of people across America, including in our region.
Dawn, by the way, symptoms that you might have rabies.
Yes.
We're not doing a wall. Does anybody have any doubt that we're not doing a
wall? You start talking like this to people, you have rabies.
And you know you're a vampire.
Exactly.
It turns into a rabid bat.
Thank you.
So people are getting sick from salmonella from touching poultry. So usually we're talking about, you know, at first I thought it was, oh, they're touching like raw poultry, they're out in the yard, they're touching. No, this is birds, actual live birds carrying the bacteria, and they may look healthy and clean, but they're not. So a third of these people getting sick, children getting sick from touching chicks and ducklings from places like agricultural stores, website that they got from websites, hatcheries. So they're saying always wash your hands thoroughly with soap and water right after touching any birds. And they had to put this on there. Don't kiss any backyard poultry or snuggle them and then
touch
your face.
Don't snuggle poultry? Who the hell's cuddling with their chickens?
I don't know.
I've heard of people choking their chickens. I've never heard of people cuddling with their chickens.
Don't cuddle with the chicken.
Don't
or
cuddle
the duck.
With your chicken.
So going viral.
What the hell's wrong with people? Honestly, what the hell is wrong with people?
I don't know.
Come here and cuddle, chicken.
Do not.
Come here, chicken. I need some love, chicken. Craziness.
Going viral. Did you hear about the Target apocalypse over the weekend? So they're saying it was a technical glitch. It stalled checkout lines at Target stores worldwide Saturday, right before Father's Day. And shoppers, I mean, this went viral. People were going crazy. And this is their primetime day. So it was a two-hour outage. Some Target stores across our region actually shut down because they didn't know what to do. They had long lines, people complaining. None of those self-checkout registers would work. So Target today issuing this huge apology. I don't know if they're issuing gift cards to anybody who was, you know, stuck by this, but they said it was a technical glitch. There were no problems as far as, you know, people's, you know, information being compromised. It was just a company technical glitch. That's all they're saying.
Technical glitch.
Yes.
Got it.
We have a couple recalls.
So go there today and buy your crap made in China. And it's back working again.
Recalls. Ragu could have plastic. Don't eat it.
Just don't eat it whether it has plastic or not. Do yourself a favor and don't eat ragu, plastic or not. Plastic is the best thing to happen to ragu, by the way.
And a Texas company has to recall more than 250,000 pounds of frozen breakfast wraps sold nationally over fears the bacon may contain extraneous materials like small rocks.
Good. Rocks are good for
so
you.
So El Monterey frozen breakfast wraps, don't eat them.
Dawn gets alerts on recalls.
I know.
Right?
To her I get every recalls.
Yes.
By the way, I want to mention that Carly Lloyd has led her team to a 3-0 win over Chile on the women's soccer team.
Go Carly.
South Jersey's own Carly Lloyd.
That's so exciting.
Delran, New Jersey, baby. Delran.
So before I go to this day in history, I want to tell you
news. Or Delran, if you want to. Yeah.
News is sponsored by Holman Lincoln Maple Shade in Turnersville. Take flight in the elegant all-new Lincoln Aviator, arriving soon at Holman Lincoln Maple Shade and Turnersville. Visit them in-store or online at HolmanLincolnMapleShade.com and HolmanLincolnTurnersville.com, where their name truly means a great deal. So this day in history, real quick here, 1856, Republican Party opens its first national convention in Philadelphia. 1885, the Statue of Liberty arrives in New York City aboard the French ship Isere. And 19.
Wow, did you? Yes. How did you figure that out to pronounce that? I thought it was the lesser because the way it's spelled, the French ship, the lesser, L-S-E-R-E.
Isere.
I literally thought it was the lesser.
Is that the new name for Cuomo? L'Isère.
We're called that, yeah.
And
nice.
1915, the League to Enforce Peace is organized at Independence Hall in Philadelphia with William Howard Taft, president. Its program anticipating the League of Nations.
Very good,
there's
Dawn.
This day
well
in
done.
History.
Great day.
So real quick, because I know we have a big interview coming up in less than 90 seconds. So let me do eyewitness weather real quick.
That you're using the time checks. I love that.
I know,
well
right?
done.
The big interview.
See
this
that?
Is a don't miss interview.
The evil Jared has really Eagle gotten Scouts. To all of us.
This eyewitness weather brought to you by Mercedes Northeast Region. So spotty thunderstorms developing later in this afternoon, some of which could produce damaging wind gusts, hail, flooding. That's why we have all the flash flood watches in effect across our region, beginning noon, not ending until late tonight. Be safe if you're out there. And in addition to the damaging winds and hail, we could really see a quick rainfall, 1 to 3 inches. So that's why they're looking at the flash flood situation. Tomorrow, it's going to be 80 degrees cloudy. And yes, another chance for afternoon storms. The Mercedes-Benz CLA with its turbocharged engine, exceptional price, go from 0 to 60 miles in less time and for less money than you'd expect. Visit MBUSA.com for local inventory offers or to find your nearest Mercedes dealer. I'm Dawn with the news. A big interview coming right up right here. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Remember the radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Com app.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Glad you're here today. Facebook.com/Zeoli Show and 1210WPHU.com/Rich is the number. I want to welcome to the program John Bishop. John is a true hero, a local hero. And John, thanks for making the time today to come on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, listen, I appreciate you coming on. You are, of course, a member of the Facilities Management Department at Cooper Hospital's Ambulatory Facility in Voorhees. You've been an employee at Cooper University Healthcare for 11 years. Is that right?
That's right.
And I happen to know that you are one of the most well-liked people in all of Cooper University Healthcare system.
Well, thank you. I don't know how true that is, but I'll take it. Thank you. All
right. Well, you're welcome. Now, last week, you did something incredibly heroic. You saved a woman who was, she was being physically assaulted along I-295 last week, and Cooper actually honored you on Friday for this, and I think it's wonderful. So tell us the story, if you would, John, if you don't mind, in your own words, of what happened.
Well, I was heading home from work, and I was heading to Cinnaminson to pick up some supplies for my swimming pool, and I got off at the exit at 295 on Route 73, and as soon as I was getting ready to merge into traffic, on my right-hand side, I saw a woman just get grabbed and pulled down the embankment into the woods, and I stopped my truck almost over the overpass, and everybody was beeping at me, wondering why I'm stopping there, and I started backing up, but I thought I was going to have an accident, so I just parked it and got out and ran into the woods. And I come upon, I heard like screaming, like a muffled scream, and I looked down into the woods underneath the vines and saw a man on top of a woman, and they were struggling with each other. And I froze for a second in disbelief. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I yelled, "Hey, get off of her." Used a little coarse language a couple times, and he stood up, and as he was trying to get up, I could see the victim like swinging and trying to hit him, and I think she scratched his face up because he was bleeding all on his face. And I yelled that I was an off-duty police officer and that I had a gun. I just made it up. I don't even know what made me say it. And I told him I wanted to see his hands, but he just came running at me and grabbed me by the arms and tried to force me to the ground. And I wasn't having that. I just grabbed his arm and bent it behind him and pulled his hair back real hard and slammed him face first into the ground. And then he got up from that and came at me again, and there was a stick laying there, and I grabbed it, and I was getting ready to hit him, but he slipped and started falling, so I just kind of jabbed it into a shoulder blade and forced him to the ground. And then he rolled out from that, came at me again, and then I knew he was trying to get me on the ground down there. So I don't know what made me do it. I just roughed him, manhandled him up the hill and threw him over the guardrail, and we kind of both landed in the street together. And a couple cars were swerving by us, beeping a horn. I guess they couldn't imagine what was going on. And I was able to hold him down until some passerbys from Palmyra Fire Department came and gave me a hand. There were two gentlemen and a woman, and they helped hold his legs down. When I had him, I asked the victim. She came up the top of the hill, and I told her to call 911. Well, she got her phone out and started beating him in the head with it. And I was like, oh, well, you deserve it. Go at it. You know, it was quite an ordeal. It was not even real to me. It's still sinking in.
Was it just, John, that it just kind of it took over? You weren't thinking in the moment? Everything was just happening to you?
Yeah. It happened all so fast. I didn't have time to really think. It just happened, and I reacted.
Let me ask you this too, John. You know, as you're being called a hero in all this, which is so incredibly well deserved and everything like this, you know, in your lifetime, has anything like this ever happened to you? I mean, have you ever been the guy that's broken up a fight before? Have you ever been the guy that's run in there before?
No, never had anything like this happen to me before.
So it was just one of those situations where you literally just rose to the occasion right then and there.
Yeah, I was at the right place at the right time. I just did what needed to be done, I guess.
Well, God bless you for doing it, man. What I got to tell you, too, I was talking yesterday to Dr. Anthony Mazzarelli, the co-president and CEO of Cooper University Hospital, a healthcare system who, of course, they presented you with an award on Friday when they commended you and they presented you with a heroism award. And, you know, Dr. Maz said something to me. He goes, you know, the fact that you were able to think on your feet like that and come up with the idea that you were an off-duty police officer, which you're not, but, you know, you thought of saying that and that you were armed. That's pretty amazing quick thinking right there.
Well, I at the time I thought it would make him either run or just, you know, kind of like slow him down a little bit, you know, of what he was doing, and made him think twice maybe if he thought I had a gun. But he wasn't listening. He just came right at me. Didn't I said it twice, and he just kept coming. So then I knew I had to do something.
And when the police got there, the Mount Laurel police, they found out that the man had a knife on him. I mean, you could have been killed here, John. You really put your life at great risk here to do the right thing and save this woman.
Yeah, I didn't think of that at the time. I've been called crazy and stupid and foolish in a jokingly, lovingly way by people that like me. And, you know, said, what were you thinking? I said, I wasn't thinking. It just happened too fast to think, you know?
When you guys are, like, you're wrestling him on the road, and, I mean, that's a really busy highway right there. I drive by there all the time. It's a huge, huge busy intersection between 295 and 73.
Yeah.
People are swerving and beeping, and, I mean, that must have been scary as hell at that moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I was waving my arms to try to get people to stop, and a lot of cars kept going. Now, I'm assuming somebody called 911. I don't know who did, but a lot of cars, it's not an easy place to stop and help anybody because you could get into an accident, you know? So it was hard for people to really stop and assist me, I guess.
When the police showed up, what did they say right away? How did they know who was the bad guy in the situation? What was that moment like?
Well, the first officer stopped, and I don't think he realized the severity of the issue. He was putting rubber gloves on, I guess, to protect himself because the guy was bleeding. And he asked me to get up, and I explained to him that I was trying to hold him down. He's still trying to get up, and he was trying to, and I didn't know if he had a weapon or not. I didn't want to let go of him. And he started struggling some more, and I asked the cop to please get him under control with handcuffs before, you know, he does something. So he jumped on him and started wrestling. And then two Mount Laurel cops came, and they just pounced on him. They didn't even ask a question. They just jumped right on him. Yeah.
Well, it's good, though, that the officer believed you at first and, you know, didn't, you know, order you to let him go or anything like that. Or
Oh, he wanted me to let him go, but I wasn't letting him go until I had some help. So.
Yeah. Wow, it's amazing. John Bishop is with me today. John works at Cooper University Healthcare System. He's part of the Facilities Management Department, and he was honored on Friday by his employer for his heroic, amazing, courageous actions saving a woman along 295 and 73 last week. You saved her life, John. I mean, you know, who knows how bad it could have gotten for her. You saved her life. You did what we all hope we can do and would do in that moment. You actually did it, especially as so many other people were just driving by. So, I mean, we got to commend you, man. You know, you really did something extraordinary and heroic here.
Well, thank you. I want to thank everybody that has been thanking me and giving me gifts and awards. I really appreciate it. It's been overwhelming with the response. It's just, I never had a week like this before.
I bet not. I bet not. And so you've been working at Cooper for 11 years now. Like I said, everybody I've talked to is what incredibly well-liked guy you are. Everybody knows you there. They think you're terrific. You've also, I believe now, the Today Show interviewed you, and I think the New York Times as well. Is that right?
They called me and talked to me over the phone, yeah. And I was on, I guess it's Good Morning Philadelphia with Mike and Alex.
Mm-hmm.
I was on their show. They treated me really nice. I was nervous, and they made me feel just at home, you know. It was nice.
You get nervous going on TV, but not nervous to jump out of your truck and go save a woman's life on the side of the road?
Not at first. I wasn't nervous, but then I started getting nervous when he was trying to get me on the ground. That's when I started getting scared. I told everybody, I was scared. I won't lie. I didn't know what to expect, you know.
But what's the old saying? You know, courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing the right thing, you know, despite the fact that you are afraid.
Right.
Which you did.
Right.
So.
Well, once I went down there, I was in the middle of it. You know, there was no getting back out unless I had to do it, you know.
Well, John, listen, you know, you are exemplary. You really are a role model for people, and I want to thank you again. If there's anything ever we can do for you, man, just let us know, okay?
All right, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. John Bishop, a true hero. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right. Excellent stuff. What a guy. What a guy. Thank God he was there at the right time, huh?
Thank God.
Man.
Now, the woman was the victim who survived it. She was treated at the hospital, but she's going to be okay. Good. And the suspect, Donald Kramer Jr. of Philadelphia, is, you know, he's charged with kidnapping, criminal attempted sexual assault. They're holding him because he's a suspect in other assaults.
Right.
But he also had like tape with him and things. So we don't know what he intended. But police say that woman is a lucky lady that John Bishop happened to drive by and stop.
No doubt. I wish he was around when OJ was prowling the streets back then. That would have been helpful. But OJ's back now. On Twitter. Are you following him on Twitter?
Yeah, I see it. Now, is this the 20... I can't believe it's 25 years.
Follow me on Twitter or I'll kill you. Yes. I believe it's his new slogan. Follow me on Twitter or I'll stab you to death. This is OJ Simpson here. Take a listen. Uh-oh.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there, so this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So, this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So, God bless. Take care.
Oh, and he's got getting even to do.
Oh, my goodness.
So, this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care. Bless.
At OJ Real 32 OJ, I will stab you to death if you block me on Twitter.
Oh God. I got a little getting even.
Don't block me on Twitter. Just say it. May not work out for you.
There's no irony in any of that.
No, nothing. And it was 25 years ago today, I think, was the chase, the Bronco?
I think it was the 13th, if I'm not.
So right around this time, right?
Yeah.
So that's when he chooses to launch Twitter. It should be, like at OJ Bronco or something, something that is more, hey, everybody.
He also had a Father's Day message for everybody.
Oh, go ahead.
Hey, Twitter world. You know, for years, people have been able to say whatever they wanted to say about me with no accountability.
Well, now there's going
to
be.
I get to challenge a lot of that BS and set the record straight. More importantly, I'll be able to talk about everything, especially sports, fantasy football, and even politics. But for now, let me just say to my fellow fathers out there, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. And remember, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. I want to know who OJ is backing for president. Can we find out who his who he's backing? That's what I want to know. From everything from politics to sharpening your knife and hiding the evidence and getting crazy attorneys. Who do you think OJ is going to back? First of all, every candidate should immediately come out and say, please don't back me for president. I don't know his politics. Who's OJ going to be behind?
Well, he should just join the field of, what do we have, 22? He should just
run.
Yeah. Why not?
Yes. He could say, why not me? I mean, why not? Right? Why not?
You know?
He should do it.
The irony of posting a Father's Day video message, too, is so, it's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because the two children were upstairs sleeping when their mother, 35-year-old Nicole Brown Simpson, was murdered.
Right. Not by OJ, though. A jury found him not guilty, Dawn. They acquitted him. He's an innocent man. He was framed. OJ was framed.
Well, they never caught that killer.
No, he's still out there. I wonder where he could be.
So, I got a little getting even to do.
I bet you do. I mean, that killer's still roaming the earth right now. I don't know where he is. Where he could be anywhere. He could be anywhere, Dawn. But all I know is OJ is not guilty because a jury said so. That's all I know.
Oh, man.
And juries never get it wrong.
Never. 100% accuracy.
It's framed, OJ. Someday they'll find that guy. Someday. All right. Now, listen, I got to play for you this amazing clip when we get back. And the president has addressed UFOs. It's very, very good that the president is discussing this stuff. The Navy, of course, briefed him on this.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.